Thank you. Thank you, Miss Lisa. Thank you, Brother Chris. Thank you for coming today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the very last book of the Bible, Revelation. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. As we come to a close, the last chapter of the Bible today, as we've gone through each chapter week by week, Revelation 22. Today, I want you to think with me about a perfect life. We all have our ideal life. And so I want you to think about what your ideal, your perfect life would look like. Many have dreamed of maybe that perfect life, that utopia. Maybe, perfect. Some think that maybe one day that they'll live on in a town called perfection. Maybe even down here on this earth, we would like to think that we have our dreams, don't we? When we go to school and when we get out of school and we get married, we think life is going to be kind of like this. When it's nothing like this, is it? It's very difficult. It's tough. Maybe our life, we think it's going to be when we go to the beach, the sand and the air and everything else is just so ideal. Maybe that's our perfect life. Maybe you like the bucolic life. You like the country life. No one in here, does anybody in here own cows? I was going to put your name up there, but I couldn't find anybody's name. I didn't know of anybody that owned cows in here, so I couldn't put that. We had dairy cows like that when I was growing up in Mississippi. Maybe, you know, there's no ideal family, is it? This is really what it's like. It's messy. You get up in the morning, you come in, and from maybe on a Saturday morning, and the kids, this is what they're doing in the kitchen. It's just, there's no ideal family. It never works out the way we think it's going to. It's not perfect. I was going to pick at Miss Susan. I was going to say this is her office, but she, Miss Susan, okay. It is what your office looks like. And so there is no ideal job, is it? It would be nice if there was an ideal vacation, an ideal job, an ideal family, but that's just not the case. I don't know if there's no ideal church either, is it? There's no perfect church. You see, this one has for rent. And it's an apartment for rent. And they've turned it into an apartment. So we know because of this life and the life we live, there is nothing ideal as we want to believe. If you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read a couple of verses from Revelation chapter 22. Just the first few verses. Revelation 22 says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree, were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no more no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Father, bless your word in Christ's holy name. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, I want to talk about the ideal life, and I want to give you a few truths from the text. Number one, we see a perfect river. It talks about that in verse 1, a perfect river. It says that this river is pure. It says it's crystal clear. And Webster defines crystal clear as perfectly easy to understand. It's that clear. When God says it, it's perfectly clear is what he says. We know there are some very crystal clear waters in this world. I might skip through there to show you. I've never been to any of these locations, but I just wanted to show you a few of them. Wyoming, Jenny Lake, very crystal clear. Lake Tahoe, Nevada. Some of you may have been there, never been any of these. Crystal clear. St. George, Bermuda. Some of y'all may say, no, you hadn't been there. You don't know what it's like. It's not that clear. But anyway, this is from my little bit of research, I guess, is they say is crystal clear. So, are they? I don't know. But first of all, I want you to know that there are some clear waters in this world, but it's nothing compared to what God's pure river that's flowing from the throne is going to be like. It's what the scriptures say. I know there's some other locations in this world as well that are calm and serene and peaceful. But only the river in heaven is perfectly easy to understand. It's perfectly clear. It's perfectly calm and serene. Because that's what heaven is like, obviously, as well. It is very, very pure. The river in heaven is also very powerful. Very powerful. Why is it powerful? Because it's coming from the throne of God. And I would say anything that comes from God is powerful. Amen? Because he's omnipotent. He's all powerful. The mighty Mississippi River is very powerful. The Congo, the Amazon, and many others are very powerful. Some of the most powerful rivers in the world. But it's nothing compared to the river that's flowing from God's holy throne. It's crystal clear. It's abundant. And it's powerful because where God sits, there is omnipotent energy, omnipotent life, and omnipotent strength. This river flows from the seat of our Creator. You ask, why would God put a river in the middle of heaven or flowing from His throne? Why would He do that? Well, I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to find out one day. But the most powerful and the most beautiful river ever you and I could ever imagine is going to be right there where we are in heaven one day. It is a beautiful, perfect river. Not only do we see a perfect river, we also see a perfect tree. In heaven, there is a perfect tree. And it's coming back from the Garden of Eden. We know God put it in the Garden of Eden. It says there in the text, in the middle of the street, on either side of the river, is the tree of life, is what it says. It's a little hard for you and I to picture the position. We don't know for sure. But John may be describing a large street with a river flowing down the middle and a large tree or a series. It could be some other trees as well, but we know he is talking about one main tree. But John Walbert says this, the visual picture presented is that the river of life flows down through the middle of the city and the tree is large enough to span the river so that the river is in the middle of the street and the tree is on both sides of the river. Wherever the location is, it's going to be an incredible tree that God says is going to be in the river. We see the position of it. We see the purpose of it. Why would God put a tree in heaven like he had in the Garden of Eden? Why would he put this tree there? Well, we're told there that this tree is going to bear 12 fruits, one for each month. The leaves are for the healing of the nations, the Bible says. So God says one for each month. There's not going to be any time as we know it in heaven. God's still going to mark time in some way because this tree is going to bear 12 fruits, one for each month. Even though man fell by eating of this tree, God's going to bring it back. He's bringing back the tree of life. It stands in the golden streets for all who have surrendered to the Lord Jesus, for you and I to eat and enjoy month after month after month, forever and ever. And so the word healing here may be translated therapeutic. It's going to be, you and I think we can go to the beach or we can go to the mountains. We can have therapy. But there's nothing like the therapy we're going to receive in heaven. Amen? It's going to be a glorious time, folks. And it's going to be for everyone that loves the Lord Jesus. Let me give you the third truth. The perfect tree. The perfect river. And the perfect day. Let me back up a little bit. I don't know what the river is going to look like. It could be something like that. Only God knows. He didn't tell us. But perhaps, I don't know. But we know it's going to happen. The perfect day. We all would like a perfect day, wouldn't we? When we have bad days, we would like a good day. And ideally, if we had a perfect day, that would really be wonderful. Wouldn't it be nice if one day a week was a perfect day? We're going to have those perfect days in heaven forever and ever. The perfect day. We see it in verse 3 and in verse 5. It says, there will be no more curse, it says in heaven. We're going to be restored. There's going to be restoration. The curse that's upon this world is going to be gone. Since the fall of man and since creation, we have lived with the effect of the curse described in Genesis 3:16. There currently is sorrow in this world, as you and I know, and pain, not just in childbirth for women, but there's friction between men and women. There's friction between societies, the necessity. The curse is all over, everywhere you and I look, of what Adam and Eve did. But the greatest of all the curse is death. And death is prevalent for everyone that's born of woman. We may live under the curse now, dear friend, but in heaven we will be restored, is what the scripture says. There will be restoration in heaven. There will also be illumination. Illumination. Because the Bible says there will be no more night. No more night. Some of you, I can imagine at night, you get tired of hearing gunfire, don't you? You get tired of what could be going on outside. Some of you probably don't like night because it's a lonely time. Your spouse has passed on or your children have moved away, and so you find yourself by yourself at night. Again, God's always there, but still, it is nice to have a presence of someone with us that cares about us. And so nighttime is a very difficult time at times for God's people. But I want you to know, dear friend, that night's going to pass away. That's what the scripture says. No more night. No more scary nights. No more lonely nights. None of that. Jesus will be our light. There'll be no more need for the sun. The massive, incredible sun that God has made. There wouldn't be no more need for the moon and the stars and all of that that our Creator has made. Jesus will, even though He created all of it, we don't need it anymore because we have Him. Amen? And that will be all we will need forever and ever. And that is all we need down here forever and ever. Unfortunately, most people don't see it that way. Most people think all they need is a bank account or other things. But that doesn't satisfy. The illumination, the restoration, the perfect day. But there's something more, much, much greater than all of these. The perfect river, the perfect day. All of these things are something much, much greater. And that is the face of Jesus we're going to see. I don't know what He's going to look like. Nobody has a picture of Him. We don't know if He's going to have short hair, long hair. We don't know. But I tell you what, dear friend, we're going to find out one day, amen? We're going to see Him face to face. And so the perfect face, when we see Him, we will be transformed. There will be transformation, because that's what the Bible says. We will see His face. Heaven will be a place where you and I can lay eyeball to eyeball on the Lord Jesus, face to face, intimately, fellowship with him forever and ever. Moses was denied the ability to see God face to face in Exodus 33. But everyone in heaven will not be turned back. We will see him as he is. We'll see the scars. We will see him in his glorified body in heaven. This will be the greatest glory of heaven to see the Lord Jesus. It will be great seeing our loved ones, won't it? It'll be wonderful talking to Adam and Moses and Abraham and Elijah and all of those people that we would love to ask a question about. But the greatest glory of heaven will be for us to see the Lord Jesus face to face. There'll be no greater glory than that. And so to know God, to know Jesus more intimately and more wonderfully than we could ever know him down here on this earth. Spurgeon says this. Spurgeon says, it is the chief blessing of heaven, the cream of heaven, the heaven of heaven, that the saints shall there see Jesus, he says, and I end quote. The transformation, not only do we see transformation, we see identification. It says there in the verse that his name shall be on their foreheads. Isn't that amazing? The names of those who love Jesus will have Jesus' name on their foreheads. It's amazing. Heaven will be a place where God's people will forever be identified with God. There will never be any doubt because everybody will have the name of Jesus on their forehead. That's what it says. If you belong to him, if you're there, it won't be accidental. It won't be, happenstance. You won't have slipped in. You will either love Jesus or you will not love Jesus. You'll either be saved, you will have repented and believed, and that's how you got there, or you will not be there. And everybody who got there the way God says is how you're saved will have the name of Jesus on their forehead. Unfortunately, many in our world that believe they know the Lord Jesus, they go through the motions, they may even go to church, they've done all the religious ceremonies, baptism, confirmation, whatever it may be, come down the aisle and wept and prayed a little prayer, but there's never been any transformation. And if they were standing before a court of by the Lord Jesus, they were standing on judgment day, they would stand before him, there would be no identification. He'd say, I don't know you. There's not enough evidence. You've never truly repented. You have a little bit of a semblance of salvation, but there's no true contrition. There's no true believing. You're not trusting me, is what Jesus will say. And so here's the question for you. Here's the question today. One day when you stand before him in heaven, or when you stand before him on judgment day, will you end up in heaven where your name, where his name will be on your forehead? Will his name be on your forehead, or will you have perhaps, if the opposite happens when for those that are cast in hell, if Satan is on their forehead forever and ever, whose name will be there? Let's pray. Father, real simple, Lord, but real straightforward. We either have there's only two ways, your way or the other way, the way to heaven or the way to hell, the way to eternal life or the way to eternal death. We're either a sheep or we're either a goat. We're a wheat or we're a tear. We're headed to heaven or we're headed to hell, Lord. And so, Father, I pray under the sound of my voice that boys and girls and men and women would ponder, would ask themselves within their heart, if they died right now, where would they go? Father, This is your time. Only you can save. No one else can. So, Lord, if you're convicting someone here today that they're not ready to face you on Judgment Day, they're lost, they need your son Jesus, because we all do, they need to trust him right now. I pray that right where they sit, that they would just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me for being a sinner. Forgive me for all my sins and wrongdoings that I've done, all the way back from birth, Lord. And now I trust you, Lord. I trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, and believe that he is who the Bible says he is. And Lord, I want to serve you and follow you as my master and my Lord forever and ever. Lord, thank you for speaking to me today, convicting me that I needed you. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, amen. Let me pray for us again. Lord, if there was one or more that prayed that, Lord, I pray that they would make it public at some point. Lord, whether it's today or another day, they would let me or someone know. But Father, I pray for those who are saved here today, Lord, but those who have kind of strayed a little bit. They've allowed themselves to go, and they may be saved, but their life looks like they're not. Their heart looks like they're not. Lord, you see everything, because you see all the way deep down within us. Father, stir us, and may we repent of those sins that are pulling us away from you. May we be the church you want us to be, not the church somebody else wants, or the church to be like another church. May Highland Avenue Baptist Church, Lord, be the church that glorifies you just like we are, period. Lord, we love you and we praise you. Have your way. In Christ's holy name, amen.